Conversation 12, Is It Wrong to Leave My Church? Part 2. Now, even though Vicky and I are talking a lot about things we've heard, questions that have come our way, we'll have lots of principles and scriptures, this is not just some kind of a puzzle or academic exercise. This is actually very personal. We've had to wrestle with these issues ourselves, especially in places where we've not felt welcome.
It wasn't a case of us trying to consider should we leave the church, but it's more like you're not really welcome here at the church unless you do X, Y, Z.
Right. And it's interestingly, although some churches are very active, they have a lot going on, relationships aren't so close. Often people say, well, people don't call each other higher. And so some people are thinking of leaving. It's not because they want less commitment. It's because they want to be more involved. They really want to grow. And they know that in the body of Christ, we're supposed to call one another higher.
And yet for other people, it will be perhaps the specificity of the teaching or the children's ministry program. We all have different needs and we all have different expectations, which is something we've learned about. But it still is a huge wrestling point for all of us because we tend to think, if I leave, I've done something wrong, or people may say I've done something wrong, I'm in sin. And I think it was taught so much that you are not a Christian anymore if you're not a part of this particular fellowship.
A lot of times we hear people say, I went to this church because the worship is better, or the singing is better, and we believe that's really important, maybe not top of the list, but we talked about this a little bit, couldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I've always realized that worship and singing, which I put in with worship, is it's very cultural. I mean, I grew up in England, and for me, growing up, I had an assembly every day at school, and that's where we sung hymns. That is how I learned about God, creation, and Jesus. And so those things are actually profoundly important to me in a sense of anchoring my soul.
The old hymns.
The old hymns, but it's because I didn't grow up in a Christian family.
Right.
And that's where I learned. And creation is, I have to be out in creation. That's how I connect with God.
Right.
And so when I can't sing hymns and I'm told you need to have this worship style, that actually hurts my spirituality.
Right. You know, different styles are okay. I guess it's pretty common in churches to eventually have more than one service. You'll have the contemporary service. You'll have the more traditional service. Nothing wrong with that. I think it is an issue, though, if the singing is just bad, if there's no content, or as one of my pet peeves for many years is the volume level. And I'll visit a church, I'll be speaking somewhere in Africa or third world location. There are 50 people, but they have a sound system. Why do you need a sound system for 50 people? And it is cranked up to the top. And I tell the guys, I'll come in the service when you turn it down, but I cannot be here when it's this loud. It's too painful.
It is painful. But again, these are personal preferences. And yet they become sticking points sometimes. And we have to be able to look beyond that. But
sure.
I do think being able to feel like I can talk about this or just seeing if could we just have it a little quieter. It's not just me. It's for the elderly people. It's for kids who've got special needs. Or a lot of people are very sensitive to noise. And it happens due to illness. And not everyone's an extrovert either. And I think we have not taken that into account. And we're like, if you're a zealous Christian, you are going to want to do these things. But I do think there may be personal preferences, but also it's important for our worship individually as well as corporately that we can enjoy it, not dread it.
I thought of a couple of things that I think would be very concerning in any congregation. And one is if there's clearly discrimination going on. You know, the book of James, James chapter 2 speaks of this, if we show favoritism towards the well-dressed person. And what I noticed when I read James last week says if we do that, we become judges with evil thoughts. And there's the same phrase, it's not the same word exactly in Mark 7:21, but out of the heart come evil thoughts. And then it mentions all those sins. So something very serious if we're treating people in that way.
I think it's that the idea of favoritism, who do we favor, who do we fellowship with, but sometimes even just who is, what is it? Our churches will have targets of who they are reaching out to. And some people are more desirable than others. And I think we have to really watch that.
Right. And I suppose if the church reflects the color or the class of the wealthy and not doesn't reflect the disadvantaged or the poor, that's a pretty serious issue biblically in both testaments. That's a big warning sign, I think.
Well, I think for me, I will look and think about Jesus's outreach. Talk about in churches, we'll reach out to this, reach out to that. But when you look at Jesus's outreach, the demographics, it was to everybody. And I think we've got, the question is, am I comfortable reaching out to everybody? Because if I'm not, that's probably what's going on underlying even in the fellowship that I'm a part of.
Yeah. So I think that's a big one. Another one might be censorship. You know, we think of censorship, we think of totalitarian states, or we may think of the Inquisition or the Index of Forbidden Books and book burnings. I think we still see this around the world in many places.
Well, this is really what we came up against when we moved, was really being told that...
Well, we were told that you shouldn't read a new book or encourage people to check out this or that website without approval from the top leader. In fact, I saw something even yesterday at it was a certain European church website, but it said that if you ever have you find something that you think is interesting or it's a new thought, don't talk about it until you've turned it to good advantage, and as a result, you've baptized a number of people, then you can tell the leaders about it and they may approve it.
So this is going back to that lens of Matthew 28 that leaders have to approve something. The truth is, we came across this years ago when we tried to talk about the bullying style of leadership that we'd come across 20 years ago. And the whole thing was, well, prove it to us that by being kind and considerate and having a different collaborative way of leadership, that the church will still grow. I mean, this has been around for a while, that growth is the denominator here. That's the factor that's most important.
I think that's pretty concerning because, again, instead of being brothers and sisters in a family, as one person put it, I just realized I'm not really cut out to recruit, you know, to be a recruiter for Jesus. I'm not so extroverted as that. And it's hard for people when they have to fit in and rise up. As though it's a sales job.
Well, it's also that same kind of favoritism, is that look for somebody to reach out to who can get baptized, because that's what we want in the church. That's more important than looking for people who really want to grow and learn spiritually and in a way want a relationship with God rather than a membership.
You know, speaking of the, I guess we're talking about theology here. These are not just opinions right now. What we said in the previous conversation about the kingdom, when people think that their denomination is the entire kingdom of God, that's a red flag. That is such a dangerous thought, which leads to so many, let's say, deformations of character. It makes us arrogant. It cuts off learning. It's just inaccurate.
Well, I think just a few weeks ago, I know you posted a sermon that you preached in Athens, Georgia. And you definitely got some pushback from that sermon. And the big concern was that you were introducing a new teaching that the church fellowship that we've been a part of for a longer time was, surely that is just the kingdom and that's a new teaching. And should you be doing that?
I know. Yeah, a lot of people still think that way. I mean, I was reading an email last night, Vicky. It was a great message. It's from someone. I have no problems with that person. But I certainly noticed that she was using the word kingdom interchangeably with one denomination, with one church. And why haven't people taught the truth about the kingdom? That's a serious thing. I mean, kingdom of God is arguably like the theme of the New Testament.
Well, I think that sometimes we get too full of ourselves when we're preaching church and we're not preaching Christ. And I think in the States, I saw it more, there are so many churches and churches are vying, competing with each other for biggest numbers, you know, greatest influence in a community. And that's when they'll start to push this.
Right. Well, there's no perfect church.
That's true.
You know, whether you
just
need
like
to leave.
No perfect human.
Yeah, if you had a perfect human, yeah, I guess we wouldn't need churches because
we have Christ for that
reason.
There'd
be no sin, but there's no perfect church, and people and relationships are messy. And we need to be fair, too. I think for a lot of people, criticizing the local church or storming out is a bit of a cop-out. Sometimes they blame the church, or you've not taught my children. I think there's a difference between hurting your children by teaching them poorly and simply maybe not teaching them thoroughly. It's the parents' responsibility to teach your children, right?
Right. But I think in terms of sometimes reasons why we might be looking to leave, we've got to trust one another that they're spiritual, that we're spiritual, that we've got a conscience, that we've got different circumstances, and one size is not going to fit all. And I know we use this phrase a lot, but respecting somebody that they've thought this through and that they're not doing badly spiritually. They're probably doing well because they're wrestling and they're saying, what is the Lord leading me to?
Well, you could, I mean, maybe people are doing badly spiritually because they've just been in a very unhealthy fellowship. Sometimes there's so much dysfunction and pain that staying there can hurt us more than leaving.
Right.
Hurt us spiritually, even our health.
Right.
Right.
But I think there's a difference between if we do decide to go from a church, we need to hang on to the healthy Christian relationships
Absolutely.
We have. It shouldn't be bound up in the organization. And we need to make sure that we keep the Christian relationships and the people in our life that we know
yeah.
tell us the truth.
To me, this is one of the great strengths of the Church of Christ globally, that we have relationships around the world and the people that I trust in my fellowship or in other fellowships, and the relationships are great. That's just one of the beautiful things.
But that's based on somebody's character, not a leader's personality, which
sure.
I think that's what we're talking about here, Christian character.
Well, we have basically three options, three primary options. We can bloom where we're planted, or we can start our own group, or maybe we leave and we find another fellowship. But even then, we need to fit in and be gracious.
Well, I think you can even sometimes, when you say bloom where you're planted, a lot of us are able to go online. And so sometimes just taking a break in that way, you know, if you're finding it burdensome to go into the fellowship situation for health reasons or something else, go online. And
yeah, that can give perspective.
Yeah, that can really help.
And that was one of the positive, I think, effects of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
It gave people certain perspective.
Yeah.
And some people discovered there is great content out there. But if you're looking for a new congregation, have a plan. Because in some cases, I mean, you're not going to be able to decide based on a single visit. We don't need to be willing to commit for a while to get to know the group and ask key questions.
Yeah. I think, to me, the goal is very much, we've got to have a goal for ourselves, is to be able to rediscover Jesus. Because that's why we put Fair Havens together, is that sometimes we get blown off track because of different storms.
Yes, we do.
And so we've got to see that Jesus is not the church as in the institution.
Right. Our primary identity is not, our primary identity is not, I'm a member of this church that meets over here. Our primary identity is in Christ. Not the denomination, not even the local group, as important as those things are. Am I putting that okay?
Yes, I think that's really, it's Christ before the church, really.
Because Christ is over the church. So, if you do decide to leave, well, there's going to be a loss. There's a sense of loss.
Yep.
People may miss you. You've invested your heart, and you're invested if you're wrestling with these things. You wouldn't take it so seriously if you weren't. And you're going to hear painful comments. And at worst, leaving a church could be like a divorce. Separating from a fellowship could be that kind of painful separation. You could expect resistance. Making a decision like that is kind of threatening. It forces other people to think. Some people their pride may be hurt that you would leave. Or they'll ask you, well, who's going to take your place? That kind of resistance.
Well, I do think it's really important that we have conversations with people, that we try to talk to the leaders or at least talk to those we respect spiritually who we're close to, and find somebody just to explain what's going on, but also that the idea is that you're wanting to seek a relationship with God.
Right.
And I think, I remember 40 years ago, I didn't know much about the Church of Christ. I was coming from a different denomination, and yet I had seen things in the scriptures that really challenged me. And I said, this is a group that's helping me seek God.
Right.
And I made a decision to seek God for the rest of my life. And I think that's the key. And as I've come up against different obstacles, that's what I still look for, is am I being true to that commitment, that vow I made to God, to seek Him, to seek His face for the rest of my life.
And that was very similar to my own experience. I wasn't attracted to Christ because of the church.
Right.
Almost at times, even in spite of the church.
I might say the same as well. I wasn't impressive.
I was not brought up in a Christian home. So, you know, if you decide to stay in your situation, that's great, but be patient. Give feedback as appropriate. Be loving. Certainly pray for your congregation, pray for the leaders. If you decide to go, be aware there'll be resistance, there'll be pushback, people will talk about you. And you need to be realistic. I tell people when they're moving congregations, don't make false comparisons. You're going to find some things where you're going that are definitely better than where you've been. But then you'll remember, it was much better before in the old situation.
Right.
So there's going to be no perfect situation. We need to be gracious there. But becoming part of a new community, that's very challenging, but yeah, it's also very exciting.
I remember reading this article. I think we may have it listed in Christianity Today. And it said something to this effect, that our church experience needs to impact our schedule at least weekly. And it needs to include purposeful times of worship, fellowship, communion, ministry, and discipleship.
Well, that's very well put, isn't it?
I thought so. And just because we need some sort of boundaries, because it's a bit of a free-for-all otherwise.
Well, yeah.
But I think bottom line is we need to be with other people who love Jesus. Thankfully, we're part of Christian households. But being with other people who love Jesus, they may express it differently, and learning from one another is actually where the excitement comes in.
Well, I guess we need to answer the question that's been the subject of these two conversations. Is it wrong to leave my church? And perhaps we would say that depends. It might be wrong, or it might be wrong to stay. But if we go where Christ is preached, where the Lord and His word are honored, where we can grow spiritually, that's a good thing. But either way, whatever you decide is going to take a lot of love and a lot of courage.
I also think it's going to take a lot of planning. It's not an easy thing. It's going to be the courage. I mean, I think it's going to be painful as well. There's going to be some grief there. But I think for me, I've just had to remove the sense of one church for life.
So if you're considering these kinds of issues, if you're wrestling in that way, it doesn't mean you're doing badly spiritually. It doesn't mean that you're not a Christian.
It doesn't mean that you're lost. You may get labeled, but you're not doing badly. And I think that's so important for us to understand, that we have that freedom of choice.
We hope that you'll have the courage to face the truth, to be honest about what your situation is. And what can help further, referred to these at the beginning of our previous talk, Bad Reasons to Leave Your Church. That's an article, Christianity Today, and you'll find the link to that at the conversations page. Preparing to Leave a Church You Love, and also 8 Principles Before Leaving the Church You Used to Love. Pretty catchy titles. You also find the direct link to Fair Havens, a ministry of hope.
As you decide and decipher this, it's a bit of a knotty mess. Prayer is so important. Praying that God will guide us and hear us and let His Spirit direct us. Because what we want to do is become more like Christ. And I really believe that's true for all of us, whatever our church situation has been.
Thanks, Vicky. Thanks for listening to our conversations.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.